But I understand.
But we also had many different cultures, and the cultures would worship the same divas or deities, but under different names. For example, Diana would be Artemis between the Celts and the Romans.
Artemis is
Huntress of Artemis. Norse people of the Scandinavian or Norwegian areas had a similar deity who was also a huntress.
Young man, you are much like I am. I am being forced to communicate. You think a lot and listen a lot before being hasty. This is a good thing. Don't you agree?
I believe so.
It is like saying they have ears but do not listen.
Can I give you a saying that's kind of predominant on this planet?
Certainly.
When your mouth's open, your ears are out of gear.
Interesting wording and construction. I will dwell upon it. Okay, more questions.
Actually, something about Skip. He has a tree he is in tune
From
with.
Dneiber, I believe correctly.
I
A
believe
great tree of many branches that has a great affinity. You did not warn him.
don't know, I told him last week.
No, you did not warn him. Did not warn the young gentleman about my talent.
Oh, well, I didn't warn him about that. I might give away all.
Sorry, that brings a nerve reaction to my face of a smile. You have done many things in your life, many at a tender age. One would think that some actions at a youthful age are foolish, but in rushing to learn, it is sometimes best to learn when young so that you do not make those mistakes again. And from learning those mistakes and perceiving the mistakes that were made, you do not make the same mistakes as those that forced you to do the running. I think I have been a little obtuse.
You're doing just fine.
Yes, I get the impression that it is something you wish not to discuss
Nope.
with young ears.
No, that's no problem.
But it is necessary sometimes to review and to look at the frustration and feeling of inadequacy. To understand the emotions of those that push you to those actions. And in doing so, on understanding them, you learn understanding for your own weaknesses. And when dwelling and analyzing them, you learn forgiveness for yourself, for those that put you in that situation, and those that you have avoided putting in that situation. So there is a chain event of being forced, dwelling, and not doing to put someone in the same situation, even though the situation made you who you are. It would be difficult to have more than one of yourself or myself by putting people in the same situation.
They would come out the same.
That is correct. But the temptation to manipulate them to be of similar character. Okay, I am being told to wrap up. So I ask one more question. Ask?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I think he's pretty well fulfilled everything that I was thinking about.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I must go and dwell. I have been researching, as you might have noticed, your language. The reason I did not come last week was my friend helped me with speaking in your language. He says little, but listens with his long ears well. Okay, we are getting back to business, yeah?
Yeah.
And I put on the last speaker, and then we start to run short on this, yeah? Okay. Greetings and felicitations. Greetings, Skip. Greetings, Russ.
Greetings, all.
How is everyone functioning?
Quite well.
I see you were slightly remiss in your warnings about Treebeard's ability.
Perhaps a good reason. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure there's a good one.
Skip.
Yes.
Treebeard is a natural prober. He will penetrate, slide, glide through, around, under, over, in through oblique angles, people's shields. Sometimes he will peel people's shields. Notice that Russ went on a defensive posture almost immediately at the presence of Treebeard.
Didn't bother me.
He is very gentle. That comes with great age as well. His great, 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 great grandniece is very less subtle. Russ, what is the analogy?
Like a battering ram.
You know when she probes.
Oh, yeah.
She is as subtle as a rock being dropped. Okay. Let's get down to business. Tia's dissertation. She has worded things very carefully. She covered the political turmoil of the Republican Party very well. It was briefer, it was shorter than I wanted, but concise. I'm sure that if she had had more time, she would have been able to elaborate in much more detail. Unfortunately, I made the error of giving her a small disc. Her economic analyzing of the markets, again, was concise, but said very little. She said nothing that is not printable. Her comments on your global climate problems, again, is of high quality. Detailed, as she does love the environment, and full of useful information. She was quite correct in that she will get, or you will get, Russ, a lot of mail concerning the fact of her statements. She will get a lot of flack for that. And I'm sure that she will have a rebuttal ready for when they start to come in. Knowing Tia, she will write one up and have it ready to go. Okay, questions. Let us open up the floor to answer.
All right. Kara is speaking with Kara about the problems in Central America. One of the questions I have is concerning its ramifications toward the changes that are coming up on Earth. And there's any link to that being, say, for example, a key to a new DEFCON level or something that could be looked at in that way.
Well, the most recent storm to hit the Midwest and the Great Plains is being watched very carefully. It has the potential to be a very devastating storm. However, within your continental USA, there has to be two more very similar within the week natural problems of a large scale, plus the stock market problems and the civil disobedience. I do not see this happening just yet.
Does that mean that we're stepping down?
No. Mostly or partly due to the fact that if we do step down, then people will become lax. And when certain events that are projected to happen, which I'm still waiting to hear back from the council, happen, it could catch us and you in an awkward situation. The words would be flat-footed, and we really don't want that. It is better to be in a state of semi-heightened readiness so that you can jump one way or the other. If we were to increase the level prematurely, then you would be in a position where you would be coiled and ready for action for when it happened. And then when it did not happen, it would be wasted and a big letdown and make us appear unreliable in our information releases.
And we continue to stockpile.
Yes, I would suggest that you do, but not as frantically. If it is done gradually, this is not such a fiscal drain as if done frantically and hastily, which if it is done hastily and frantically, then sometimes you get things that you really don't need and miss things that you do.
Well, doing it frantically like that wouldn't that start to set.
Yes.
Panic.
Yes. In certain situations, definitely yes. But if you do it frantically and panically, then you tend to get things that aren't really necessary or useful. Yes. So it is better to do it in the leisurely way, but with purpose.
Mark, the young man, taught me how to dehydration.
That is a very useful function. Dehydrating food is certainly it does give you the protein necessary at the appropriate times. I do not know what the shelf life is on certain commodities, so.
As long, this is my opinion, as long as it's kept in a sealed container,
I would not know. However, I have reason to believe that certain stuffings that were used about 3 to 4 thousand years ago did turn out to be still edible, although I would not recommend devouring them.
our shop.
No, true. I was just dwelling upon a joke I overheard that your military is still issuing food labeled 1918. Is that correct?
I don't think it's quite that far back. No.
I believe it was said in humor.
Okay, but I can give you an example.
Okay.
I was in the service from 49 to 52. I was stationed in Fairbanks, Alaska. For Christmas, we got turkeys that were froze, which is a bird, domestic bird that we eat. The boxes were labeled 1945.
The 4 years old.
Five or six. Frozen.
That is something I would not recommend.
Military does a lot of things
Yes.
that people don't recommend. K rations are okay. Let me see if I can let you give you kind of a thumbnail view here. K rations in the service were dry rations. They were dehydrated biscuits. I don't know what all was in them. The biscuits have been called hardtack ever since the Civil War. You eat one hardtack biscuit and drink a pint of water and you're full. Okay? They're a dehydrated biscuit. On the other hand, C rations were canned food that were a meal in a box.
Okay.
Now, them canned foods are C rations. Were originally packed in 1949. They've been continuously packed up until, I believe, 65. So you don't know whether you're getting 1941 C rations or 1965 C rations.
So the joke was an exaggeration, I
No,
take
it
it.
was not an exaggeration. Maybe a little, but. But military rations are stored in warehouses for the day and time when they're needed,
Yes.
the same as ammunition and guns and so on and so forth, because they're not perishable. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yes, non-perishable.
Non-perishable.
Okay.
Now, our storage facilities from various places have increased with our technology.
Yes.
And we're seeing stuff that's considered gourmet food that's dehydrated and can last for many years.
That's correct. Now, if you dehydrate food and vacuum pack it, it extends the life almost double.
So if you were to say that your dried food, dehydrated food, would have a life expectancy of 10 years. If you were to dehydrate it, that makes it 20 years.
If you vacuum seal it after it's dehydrated, then it increases the life double, the
So
shelf life.
you would have to decide how long it would be advisable to keep food, dried food, dehydrated food, and then vacuum seal it so that it increases the life expectancy exponentially to.
Almost indefinitely, according to our time in life. Okay.
Yes.
Now, as I understand it, food can be kept indefinitely, but its food value is substantially less than that.
Yes.
Its ability to nourish you.
You lose the vitamins, nutritions, and proteins from it. That's why it's vacuum sealed. If it's sealed in just a regular container, the air will draw that off.
That is correct.
But by vacuum sealing it, you don't allow the air to get to it. That's where they're coming up with this double life on vacuum sealing dehydrated
And that's nitrogen packed in the rooms.
food. No, it's just removing the air from it. It's completely, well, you've seen the.
How do you remove the air? You still have air molecules.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have the outside air drawing from them molecules. So, does that make sense?
Sort of.
Because you can get vacuum sealers now for home.
It might be a good investment.
They're not that expensive.
Okay, let us continue.
I'm
We
sorry, I
are
didn't mean to interrupt you.
that is quite all right.
Yeah.
How much do we have on your recording?
Half of the backside. Well, a
Okay,
little under half.
we have plenty of time.
Marv, the only thing that I'm going to be in a tizzy about is if this all happens, is where am I going to get cigarettes?
Actually, that is not so much of a joke.
Tobacco products is very habit forming.
Yes, and very tradable.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Another trade good.
But don't they have a shelf life too?
I would not know.
Okay, let me put it this way. The Navy developed a shelf life for tobacco. It's wrapped in waxed paper and sealed. Civilian cigarettes aren't. None of the civilian tobacco products are wrapped in waxed paper and sealed.
What the shelf life of tobacco is like. Or trade.
Well, a pack of cigarettes. Okay, let me take for instance a pack of cigarettes. They're sealed in plastic, but they're not sealed. How can I say this? Plastic's wrapped around them, and they're heated, and basically they're protected from moisture. But
It
they
is not a
still.
perfect seal.
That's right. They still breathe air.
Okay.
So consequently, your tobacco can dry out.
So you don't get the same effects if it's dried out?
No. In fact, it'll fall apart on you. It'll fall apart, taste terrible. A dried cigarette and a fresh cigarette is the difference between day and night for a smoker.
So a fresh cigarette would worth its weight in gold
Yes,
after
it is. Yes, it is.
If there was a mass shortage of cigarettes,
That's
let's say.
correct. So if you would take, say you bought a case of cigarettes, which is 100 cartons, and you took them out and you wrapped them and vacuum sealed them so they couldn't dry out, you could store them from now on and they wouldn't dry out. You'd have a trading product like Homer said, a commodity that you could trade down the road for anything, because somebody would give their right arm for a pack of cigarettes. And this is the truth. Tobacco is one of the highest trading things out there, that and alcohol.
That is correct. In the Russian republics, they are traded.
Tobacco and alcohol. Now, if it comes to a civil war, the next highest thing to be traded is ammunition. Not necessarily guns, but ammunition. Because not everybody reloads their own ammunition.
So not food, not water, but cigarettes.
No, you can find food and water. Believe it or not, you can find food and water.
Okay.
But you cannot manufacture ammunition unless you have the parts to do it. And you can't grow tobacco in a wasteland. And if you don't know how to make alcohol, you're going to pay for it.
That's a new route I hadn't thought of.
These are commodities that are very, very, very valuable.
That is correct. And the people that know how to manufacture alcohol, ammunition, and tobacco are highly sought after.
I could do two of them. I'm in the wrong area to grow tobacco.
So what would be the option? Trade the alcohol?
For the tobacco?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And trade the tobacco for?
Ammunition. But see, I make the ammunition. As long as I can get my hands on the brass cases and the primers, I can make ammunition. Because I can make the powder.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be as excellent quality as manufactured powder, but it does work.
You may have to clean more often.
Yes. Black powder is very, very corrosive.
Okay. I am also being told to wrap up.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You've touched on some good stuff we can look at and plan for.
Yeah.
Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
I will.
No clue whatsoever. Just because I don't.
You don't
really
smoke.
Don't do much drinking. Don't
you
smoke.
You don't drink that much.
I don't plan on shooting a lot of people.
The only time that ammunition is going to be valuable is if we get to a point where we have to hunt our own food. Or we're in the civil war.
Yeah. Okay, I am putting on last person.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, where was I? Heavenly. Okay, as we lost the recording last week, let's cover mint. Okay, now mint is used to flavor and season food. It also has certain healing capabilities. It is a blood purifier. It is a calmative, especially if drunken in tea, which makes it a sedative, a mild sedative. It is an antispasmodic, and it also helps with menstrual flow, which you guys don't need to know about, but for the internet would be useful. Now, depending on what type of mint you use, depends on the strength of the stimulation for the menstrual flow. There are certain ones that you want to avoid if you're pregnant. Making tea from fresh pennyroyal mint and using the oils is a no-no. Absolute no-no. In pregnant women, the lesser mints can be drunk in minor levels as long as there is not a chance of miscarriage. Okay, moving along to rosemary. And we discussed rosemary last week as well. And let's have a look here, see what happened.
Yes, our experiment.
Our experiment. What do you think?
It was cleared up quite a bit.
Yeah.
But there are some new ones that have appeared.
Yeah, but they're not as bad as
that
original one was.
Yeah. Okay. Next week, if I have time, I will show you how to make a poultice.
Oh, good.
Using tobacco. Another use for tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Rosemary. I'll tell you what I will need. Water. Not very much of it. Tobacco. Rosemary. A clean cloth, a little bit of flour, which will help to bind everything together. What else do I need? I don't think you can get fresh tobacco, can you?
No, just stuff off the cigarettes.
Yeah, that'll have to work. Preferably cigarettes that don't have additives in them.
Well, like pipe tobacco or
no filters.
No, that's got acid.
Yeah, something that doesn't encourage the burning.
Right. Oh, that doesn't have the glycerin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bullderm. And okay. It's, I think, what, 10 cents a sack? Maybe a quarter now. There's nothing added to Bullderm.
Okay.
It's flake tobacco.
Yeah. What I would do is I will show you how to make a basic poultice. And what we would do is we would tie it to the leg over if we have another area that's infected. We'll place it over there. And we will, if there is two of them, we will use one as control and one as the area that we'll work on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now. This is the first and the last time I'm going to make a plug.
A plug?
Yes, a plug. HTTP /www.healthcentral.com.
Okay.
That's the first. And last time, I'm going to make a plug. It's a very useful health research link.
Well, that's a few last time. Find something else useful like that. Feel free to plug it away.
Oh, I've got to believe strongly as a healer before I will make a plug. I've got to research it.
Okay. Well, I'll start my research too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, questions?
Yes, darling.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one. How do I forget it?
Well, ask the question and then we'll analyze it. How do you, if you've got a question, hold it up by the ears.
Well, I was trying to help a young lady,
mm-hmm.
and I can't seem to make contact. I've lost her someplace. I don't know how to reestablish that contact.
First of all, I would say not to worry about it. Because she has to be ready in her own time. And if you worry about it, you get that knot in your stomach and you get all uptight. And what good does that do? Listen to Aunt Vikara.
I still want to help her. And
wanting to help is a great desire.
Sorry?
Wanting to help is a great desire.
I know.
But they've also got to want to be healed. There are a few ways around it.
I got a good start on her.
Mm-hmm.
I lost her.
Yeah, it happens.
The private detective $79 will find me.
But there are very subtle ways to help somebody become healed. I'm the mistress of subtlety.
You're a coercer.
Sorry?
You're a coercer.
No, I'm not. I'm just a healer. But I'm very subtle sometimes. For example, making a poultice. Well, we definitely know that these need healing, right?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. So, how do we get him to get them healed? Without tying him down, screaming and shouting. Well, I've got the perfect answer.
Yeah.
We use them to show something working.
Now, if I understand it, you can use pulses to pull things out inside your body, too.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
It doesn't even show on the outside.
That's correct.
How the heck does that work?
I can't explain it. No more than I can explain this.
It's to do with the, for example, tobacco is very useful. Agent, it helps to draw tremendously. And that's part of the reason why we're going to use tobacco in the poultice. I know you can't get any tree fern to use, so we're going to have to do without that a little bit.
So you make do with what you've got.
That's right. But I can give you a whole list of ideas to make poultices and stuff. Now, I've got one. Basic battlefield medicine. You have a broken arm. You don't have anything to make a cast. You have two pieces of wood for the splint and some rope. How do you make a cast?
And your undershirt.
Mm-hmm.
Rip it in shreds and smear it with mud. You make a hell of a cast by putting the two sticks and tying it together.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have access to clay.
Mm-hmm. Clay's just as good.
In fact, it's better.
Yes,
because as it dries out, it'll get harder than hell.
Mm-hmm. And it'll keep the strength longer.
What about leather? What if you wet it down and let it dry?
Oh!
No, it shrinks.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you put it around the wood, then when it's pulled,
then pull the wood into the arm.
Mm-hmm.
It will shrink. Leather shrinks real bad when it dries out.
Now, the only time that you want to do that is if it is a severe clean break.
Compound fracture.
Yeah. It's the only time that you'll do something like that. For the simple reason that, let's say the bone's sticking up like this, but it's a clean break. You wrap it, and then as it dries, pull it back together.
Oh.
That's the only time that you do that.
So it's not used.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to even think about doing it for anything else.
Now, can I interrupt you just a minute?
Certainly.
If in your survival equipment, if you will put 1 pound box of plaster of Paris, there's many, many uses for it, and casts are one of them.
Mm-hmm. Making molds,
repairs,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of things plaster purse is good for.
Now, using mud.
Mud works great.
Mm-hmm. However, there is the infection factor. So what do you do with the mud?
Well,
mm-hmm. if you have time, if not, you put lots of sulfur on the wound.
One other thing you can do, I believe, mm-hmm. maybe I'm going to be wrong, if you're in an area where you can get a hold of outside broadleaf flowers,
mm-hmm.
you can use them leaves underneath the mud and the infection will go into the air.
Mm-hmm. There is, I was just thinking of something else as well that made me chuckle. Something else that will help to sterilize the wound. Alcohol.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah, again, alcohol. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'll sterilize them.
So we've covered
tobacco and alcohol.
And one ingredient for what?
For sulfur. Trade. For trade.
Sulfur.
Yeah, sulfur. Sulfur. Powdered sulfur. Now, wait a minute. Sulfur in its pure form is poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
You need sulfur drug.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. But what does sulfur?
Mixed.
What can you use sulfur for?
You can burn it. You can decontaminate areas with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can anchor bolts with it to hold down machinery. You can mix it with charcoal and potassium sulfate to make gunpowder.
That's the one I was looking for.
In other words, there's many, many uses for sulfur.
Mm-hmm. But what about honey?
Honey is one of your most natural sweeteners out there.
Well, I thought it's good for healing, too.
It is good for healing, and it's good for tea.
Burns, and cuts, mm-hmm.
For
scrapes.
Internal colds, lung problems, sore throat.
It's a great healing agent. That's one of the things, as I do my things on herbs, mm-hmm. Actually one of the best honeys is probably clove honey.
Yeah, clover honey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Natural clover honey.
So keeping now, stock of that would be good, too.
Now, wait a minute. Honey is a perishable item.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep honey too long, it solidifies.
You can't, like, heat it and make it back to
you. Yes, you can. But every time you heat it, it solidifies a little harder, and it's a little harder to bring it back.
So it's kind of like an amber almost.
Yes. I got a pound jar of honey in my refrigerator. It's solid. I can't even stick a spoon in it. I have to take the lid off and stick it in the microwave to get it to go back to liquid form. And to mix water with it, you're destroying the properties of the honey.
Mm-hmm. You're contaminating it.
Yep.
Hmm. Okay, we're getting close to the time.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to. No, that's right.
I'm running my fat mouth.
No, that's quite handy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I've said in the past, when we have a group of healers together, we can discuss all sorts of things.
We get carried away.
Well, I'm thinking, okay, so it turns into solid. And that's fine. So you break off a piece, heat it up, use it for what your needs are.
Right.
And you just put the rest of it, back where you had it.
Well, usually honey comes packed in jars.
Right.
Plastic or glass.
Or cans if you buy it in bulk.
Oh, yeah. If you buy it in bulk, you buy it in cans. Once you rip open that can or rip open the plastic jar or get into a regular glass jar, you'll break it to get it out of there. You're going to have to find a different container to put it in. And be careful of glass. If it's in a glass jar. I'd recommend you don't buy it in glass jars.
Can you vacuum seal it?
It's too sticky.
It's too sticky to vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too perfect seal.
Yeah, it stays. The consistency is solid, but it's still sticky. It's like taking a piece of chocolate in your hand.
Mm.
It's solid, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But your hand gets all sticky from the chocolate. One other thing about your tobacco, young lady.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bee and hornet stings.
Oh, yes. That was one that I was thinking of. It's a good thing to draw out those stings.
It pulls out the stinger and it pulls out the poison.
Mm-hmm.
Wet tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any difference if it's got glycerin in it or not.
No, it doesn't. I prefer not to use anything.
I understand. I understand.
Any contaminants.
If in your supplies, if you'll put 2, 3, 4, 5 bags of Bull Durham. And Bull Durham never goes bad because there's no additives in the tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
It's flake tobacco, and it's packed in these look like little cloth bags with a drawstring at the top of them. They breathe. They've breathed since the day they were packed.
Okay.
So they will not go bad because it's flake tobacco. Anything that's got glycerin in will dry out. Cigarettes, mm-hmm. Pipe tobacco.
So we need Bull Durham. And let's see, for our pulses next week.
I've got to chuckle because you know my thing about cigarettes.
Yes, I do.
And yet I'm using tobacco.
Yep.
Honey, there's so many different ways to use natural products.
Oh, yes.
Because some of us figured out a way to inhale it, mm-hmm. doesn't make it all bad.
Oh, no. I'm just teasing.
I know you are.
It's like anything. There's good and bad.
That's right.
Okay, so you bolt around with your flour.